From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Kathy Cunningham is the development director for the Rio Grande Food Project, and Ari Herring is the executive director. Both ladies in studio. Hi, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hi,
Jim. Thanks for inviting us.
Hey, and I already asked you this question, but I want to ask it again for our audience. Ari, and we have a lot of charities that help people with food.
Yes.
And I'm so excited to hear about what you're doing and your associations with some other of the entities that are feeding people. But here's my general question. Mm-hmm. Can we, working together, eliminate hunger in New Mexico?
We can. We absolutely can. There's enough food for everybody to have, you know, the adequate amount to live a healthy, active life. And I think the issue is distribution, and the issue is access. The issue is affordability. I would not call the issue willpower. I think there's a lot of willpower to make this happen. I think it's a coordination effort. It's a partnership effort. And there's a lot of that happening, absolutely. And then there are still enough disconnects that we're not fully there. But I really, truly believe that, yes, we can do it.
We can do it.
Yep.
And I think our audience, and I explained this, I was starting to talk to you guys a little bit before the show started, about our audience. I mean, I think our audience listens to KLYT because they know we're going to talk to charitable organizations. They'll hear Bible teachers talk about helping other people and care about other people even more than we care about ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that really is love. We're out in the community and we're taking care of one another. We talk about politics and talk about how we wish politicians would have that same attitude. Care more about the people you represent than getting elected.
Exactly.
Because that's how you get elected, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't mean to go down a bad road there. But the truth is that you guys are doing some amazing things. So, Kathy, I'll start with you. Talk to me about the vision of the Rio Grande Food Project.
We really envision a world where everyone has enough quality food to eat and live a healthy life.
And you're not just hoping for it. You're doing something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, our mission is twofold. We provide food assistance, but there's also the prevention aspect. So about 50% of our work is preventing hunger. So we have a food pantry and also what we call our community hub. So our community hub assists and connects people with community resources to maximize household incomes and really address the causes of why people are visiting us for food in the first place.
So, Ari, how do people take advantage of your services if they need food?
Absolutely. So we are, like Kathy said, we're a food pantry, an urban garden, and a community hub. We've been around for over 3 decades now. So word of mouth certainly spreads when you're in need of food. People do find us. We are located just south of I-40 on Coors. We're in the Southwest Mesa neighborhood, though we serve people from all over Albuquerque and beyond. We, in order to qualify for free food every single week from the Food Project, households can pick up food from us twice a week. And it's about 4 days worth of food every time a household picks up. We do have some income qualifications because some of the food that we receive is USDA, what is called Emergency Food Assistance Program food, and that's tied to some income limits. But they're fairly friendly. So a household of one with a gross income of approximately $1,900 or less per month is absolutely qualified. A household of three with about a monthly income of $3,300 or less per month is qualified. And we don't need to see any proof of income. We try to keep that threshold of entry really, really low and easy and friendly and welcoming. Folks just need to self-attest. We do fall within those income levels. And then they're welcome to pick up food from us up to twice a week. We are on a bus line. We're also in an area that is mapped as a food desert. So it means that the average income throughout the neighborhoods that we serve, which is mostly the Southwest Mesa neighborhoods down into the South Valley of Albuquerque. Many, many folks don't have regular access to affordable, nutritious food. The nearest grocery store is at least 2 miles away. So if someone doesn't have a car or they have mobility issues or their car is broken down, all of a sudden it becomes really, really difficult. And so we try to kind of close that gap and ensure that we're open a variety of hours, that we're very accessible. Right now we're outdoor drive-through food distributions for the most part. We do have a weekend indoor food pantry that folks can take advantage of as well. And then once we develop a relationship with the households that we're working with around just ensuring that they have enough food to put on the table, that's when we can start to look at, you know, is there an underemployment issue or is there an unemployment issue? Can we sort of maximize the public benefits that this household would absolutely be eligible for, but they aren't computer literate and need some help navigating that? So can we, you know, do our very best to maximize that household income and ensure that there's food on the table. So.
I love that. And you're talking about children, too.
Oh, yes. So almost a third of the people that receive Rio Grande Food Project food are kids. And that, you know, during the school year, we see them less. But in the summer, like right around now, we start seeing kids really often. And that's part of the beauty of our urban garden. For some kids, it's their first introduction to cherry tomatoes and cucumbers. And so that sort of connection to really where food comes from and fresh, beautiful vegetables and growing food, you know, from the earth is a piece of our work that is truly loved by the community.
Well, and let's talk about the urban garden.
Yes.
Yeah. So we revamped the garden in 2019 and we put in 19 raised beds, and then we have a decorative fence where we have additional 10 beds under there, and we've been planting.
Okay, Kathy, you're talking to a non-green thumb person. Although I can tell you, I can grow grass and rose bushes pretty well.
That's
wow,
good.
Roses are tricky.
Not
as
easy.
Soon as I try to do something with an apple tree or I try to grow tomatoes, I can grow the biggest worms you've ever seen.
Ooh, also impressive.
Protein. Lots of protein.
Oh, that is gross. but I guess what I'm getting at is, like, start with a raised bed. Why do you need a raised bed instead of just rototilling the ground and trying to grow something?
Well, raised beds really keep down the weeds. And we have 4 beds that are wheelchair accessible, so they're a certain 36 inches off the ground, I believe, so it can fit a wheelchair underneath. And they're also, we have, you know, these wider planks on the edge of the bed so people can sit down and garden because, you know, for older people, it's hard to bend down.
Now, are these volunteers that are helping you or are they people that are benefiting from the garden that are gardening?
So right now we're running a 6-week seed to supper class with our partner NMSU and their ideas for cooking and nutrition class. And the enrollees in the class are all clients. So they come for food and now they're learning how to garden either in buckets or their small apartment windowsills or if they own a home in their backyards. And then we can take them out to the garden for that piece of it and they can see what we're growing and they can harvest anything that's ready to go. Because 100% of what we grow is harvested and distributed in our food distributions.
I love that. Do you know Cindy Davies with NMSU? I'm trying to think of
familiar.
Well, she's really Cindy and she's been on the show. She's really a neat lady. I know she works directly for NMSU in a project that they have. They show you how to garden. They show you how to cook. They do all kinds of cool stuff.
They have so much information.
It's New Mexico State. I mean, what
a
great job they're doing.
Their extension service is incredible.
Yeah, the extension service. I mean, they'll show you how to grow stuff.
Oh, and, yes.
But it sounds like you guys will invite people in to learn about that as well. Is that part of this preventing?
So we're going to start our own one-off classes, you know, because where our drive-through is, everybody coming in for food can see the garden, and there's definitely been increase in interest over the years in participating, which is great because we built it for our community to take part in.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful opportunity for groups and volunteers to come out. You know, kids of all ages can come out and help in the garden and we have multiple projects. So it's a great way to get involved.
It's one of the programs for us, too, that allows people to build a sense of community, and it's in those settings that you share information that you might not otherwise. We've found over the years that when we can kind of break the groups of people down into smaller groups where, for example, prior to the pandemic, we had a once-a-week program called Food for Health, and it was a partnership with UNMH health clinics, and they would identify people who had chronic health conditions related to diet, and there was also a food insecurity issue in those households, and they'd refer them to us. And so we had this group of anywhere from 30 to 70 shoppers in our free, mostly fresh produce grocery setting every Thursday. They got to know each other so well and started sharing information about, you know, some of their budget buster issues and how they confronted those, or, you know, tips on finding access to, you know, some additional free health care or utility bill assistance. That type of sharing and sort of community building and social capital that is built in a garden setting where people are just sort of rolling up their sleeves. They're all there because they're doing something that they love. But also there's just sort of this trust that's built, and it's subtle and it takes time. A lot of our work we find in the prevention realm is about long-term relationships and trust. It's the type of thing that you can't do with, you know, sort of a one-time pick up food. Nobody has much time to talk to each other, but rather sort of this overtime consistency that a local grassroots pantry has this sort of unique value proposition to sort of build those relationships. And then some of our staff are dedicated solely to being really good at everything beyond food. So like they have nothing to do with the food distribution work, but instead they're really good at knowing the best people to talk to if you're having housing or rent issues, the best people to talk to if there are behavioral health issues that you need to confront, the very best expert that we need to make sure is on site on a regular basis around, utility bill assistance, certainly, and we actually run some of those programs in-house, hiring events. So we have one staff person in particular who's just dedicated to pulling all of those partners together and kind of on a rotating basis scheduling expert help on site, and then sitting down like caseworker style, going through a variety. It's usually, you know, hunger travels with sort of a suite of issues. It's never just hunger. That's one symptom of poverty. And so navigating those other issues that lead to not having enough food is where that long-term relationship really comes into play. And so it's a place like the garden, or it's a place like our financial literacy classes, or our smaller healthy food shopping, you know, groups that we really get some of.
So
that
you show
done.
People how to go shopping too?
So the Food for Health program was very much about selection of healthy foods. We only had healthy options in that program. And I've got to say, you know, I wish I could say we only have healthy options, period. It's not true. At a food pantry, you are the very fortunate recipient of tons of community donations, which is amazing. A lot of grocery stores, have to get rid of a certain set of food by, you know, when they're approaching their best buy date. We've had wonderful relationships with over 13 local grocery stores who have given to the Food Project on a regular basis. But that also means that sometimes they have to get rid of, hundreds of Halloween Oreos right. Because it's not Halloween anymore.
The cakes
and
the cookies.
And so food pantries kind of receive that food and have to figure out what to do. And so our operations manager, Lisa, is incredible. She's a total wonderful health nut. And she has done a really good job of figuring out, you know, a healthy percentage of every bundle of food that goes out with each household is really healthy, is like those choose often foods that we all should be consuming, with a little bit of the treats that we just have to get out the door too, and that are, you know, special for any 8-year-old who's having a birthday party and
yeah,
stuff.
Sure.
So it's a balance. Yeah. We're always kind of walking that line. We say no to, we will never say no to any food donations, but then we try to kind of dole out some of the less healthy stuff slowly.
So you've talked about food donations. I know that you can probably use financial donations. Kathy, you're the development director. How do our listeners help you?
Well, you know, because of our history, our 33 years this year, we have incredible partnerships throughout town. So a dollar can purchase up to four meals. So, you know, because of the relationship we built,
so we can really stretch it
very far. So people can go to our website. There's a donate button on our website, www.rgfp.org. And we also have virtual food drives available. So sometimes people will organize a food drive for non-perishable food items.
Like, for example, you could do that in your place of business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
If you have 20 employees, may I ask everybody to bring certain things?
Yep.
And
and then people just prefer sometimes to make a monetary donation. So
yeah,
they
yeah.
can opt for the virtual food drive option.
And it sounds like you guys are pretty efficient with dollars that are donated.
Yeah. Yes.
We aim to be. We have an amazing board of directors that are always really on top of keeping our margins. You know, these days, about 92% of our revenue go towards direct service programming. So our you know, we're doing about 8% administrative work, which includes all of our fundraising. All of us on staff wear many hats. A couple of us have, you know, the administration of what feels like a small business. And then the majority of our staff are just direct service all day long, working with people who are facing challenges.
I love that. We're going to talk about your team a little bit, and then we'll come back and talk about maybe how you measure some successes.
Great.
We'll be back with Kathy Cunningham and Ari Herring right after these messages. Stay with us.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous infilling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
In Santa Fe, there is an option for your child's education that provides the scholastic integrity you demand and supports growth in Christ. Here's Vince Torres.
For those parents who want to have that faith component, who want our children learning through the lenses of Scripture and through the truth of God's Word, this is a great opportunity for that. It's going to be a nice small school, small teacher to student ratio. What we want to do is bring our kids in each and every day to start with a time of prayer, to start with a time in God's Word, and then release them so our teachers can continue to equip them, basically their whole life, spiritually, academically, socially, and physically, through the truths of God's Word.
Equipping generations with a quality education based on biblical values and principles to know the truth, live the truth, and share the truth to influence our community and world for Christ. Santa Fe Christian School, now accepting applications for students and staff. 505-927-2261 or santafechristian.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Kathy Cunningham and Ari Herring with the Rio Grande Food Project. I'm embarrassed, ladies, because I don't even know about the Rio Grande Food Project.
We hear
don't
that a lot.
Be. Yeah, that's we should be embarrassed.
I know.
We that's
should.
Not
no,
your fault.
But there's so many good people helping people in our community and in other places. Like I've talked with some people in Las Cruces. I've talked to some people in Santa Fe. I don't even know that these organizations exist. So I'm doing my best to try to make sure you guys are on the radio talking about this, and we'll make sure we get you back in like June.
Oh, yeah.
July.
Well, you know what? New Mexico is... we happen to land on all these lists that, you know, we're on the bottom of this list and the bottom of that list. We're really a hugely philanthropic state.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we are so generous, and it's amazing. And I forgot to mention when you asked about donations, we have this wonderful opportunity, the Carl C. Senior Anderson and Marie Jo Anderson Foundation have offered us a $30,000 match. So anyone interested in donating, their dollars will be matched currently.
Yeah, that's really a neat thing.
And we've made it about halfway.
Yeah, we're about halfway there.
There's plenty more opportunity for folks to donate and have their dollars go twice as far.
And that's real easy, to go to RGFP for Rio Grande Food Project.org.
Yes.
And way to donate securely.
You can click the Give tab. Absolutely. And then you can donate your car. We have a car donation program. And
it is totally secure.
Yeah.
Folks can select one time or monthly giving. It's a huge, huge help to us. We are dependent on both grants and individual and church giving, and the community makes this all possible. And you know, you mentioned the good work that's happening throughout the community, and it's so easy to not know the names of a lot of these organizations. And I think, you know, in part, it's that the folks that are carrying out that work are so. We sort of have our heads down doing the work, and we forget to tell our story.
Right.
And so it's this type of opportunity that is amazing for us. And the cool thing about all of the organizations that are doing this good work, too, is just how connected we are. I mean, we have not ever operated in isolation. We've always been dependent on other organizations that are doing neat work. I mean, you know,
Tell us about some of those associations.
So we, you know, an essential daily partner is Roadrunner Food Bank. They do an amazing job of sourcing food from all over the place, beyond state lines, and then partnering with pantry organizations like ours where we give the food directly to the people in need. And throughout the pandemic, that changed a little bit. The need was through the roof, and there were a lot of pantries that were doing their very best to stay open and remain safe. And some are 100% volunteer run and had to make decisions, really hard decisions, to potentially pause their operations. And Roadrunner Food Bank started to do some really large outdoor drive-through distributions. In the beginning, we were partnering in those and learned that model and realized the food project is in this perfect position. We sit right next to a big empty dirt lot that you can easily drive into. So we learned a lot from that model early on in the pandemic that Roadrunner was carrying out about how to safely get cars through and efficiently bring, you know, big palletized, you know, huge pallets of food out and distribute at a rate that we had never distributed before in terms of efficiency and safety.
Yeah, right now we're providing food to over 775 kids, adults, and seniors every week.
Yeah, and, yes. And are those some of the things you track just to see, you know, what the outcomes are?
Mm-hmm.
Are people that you're delivering or that are picking up food or participating in the Rio Grande Food Project, are you seeing some people start to make it on their own and improve their personal situations?
Well, one of our statistics that we found interesting was that 50% of the people that come to visit us are coming one time a year. So that's telling us that people are on the edge.
Mm.
You know, one mishap, one medical bill, one car breakdown, and then they're coming to us for food.
And that there really isn't a dependency that is being created there. We do work, and that's so critical that there's that emergency safety net where we can ensure that people don't skip meals during a really, really tough time. We do have, you know, other households that we work with who are on fixed income. It's, you know, a grandparent raising three grandkids. They're living on Social Security. There's no going back to work at this point. Like it's what we can do with those households is enroll them in every possible public benefit that they're absolutely eligible for, and ensure that they're not living paycheck to paycheck or skipping meals.
And that's part of the computer literacy program we're rolling out, because these days, how can you apply for a job if you don't know how to log on to a computer?
Yeah, and that's all part of your community hub,
right?
Yes,
exactly.
Activities.
And not only apply for a job, you know, there was a huge amount of funding during the pandemic that was, If you have to be able to log onto a computer and apply for Rent Help New Mexico. You have to have somebody,
yes,
too, who knows how to navigate that system with you and help you find the documentation. We serve a population that speaks Spanish only in many cases, and so to have help on site that is bilingual has been an essential piece of our hunger relief work. We do work with households for a period of time, and we hear stories of a change in income, a job that is an improvement in terms of income, and we don't see them anymore. And that's one piece, too, where that follow-up, it's like the good news stories, you often don't get a great it's difficult to find some of those families a year later, and it's because of good news. They've moved on. They haven't needed us anymore. We have some guests who visit for food about 7 times, find a job, and then come back and volunteer. And that's, I mean,
talk to us about volunteers.
Oh, yes.
So we do have some amazing volunteers who have been with us for years. We were just talking to two this morning who have been with us 13 and 16 years. So incredible. And we love them, and they treat it like their job. But like I said, the garden is a wonderful opportunity to bring in new volunteers and get young kids and families out. It's really a fun day. It's usually like half a day on Saturday that we can bring people out.
Nice.
I just realized we should mention our hours of operation in case anyone is listening who might need to send someone our way to pick up food, or if there are any interested volunteers in our food distribution work. So we do drive-through food distributions at 600 Coors from 9 to 11 every Wednesday and every Friday morning. And then on Saturdays, we are a walk-in food pantry, also 9 to 11. And we use volunteers for about, about 8 to 11, 8 to 12 every Wednesday and Friday, and about 8 to 12 every Saturday, too. And then we do packing, a lot of box packing on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we have about 50 active volunteers and probably about 100 who are just sort of on our on-call basis. And we're always looking for more.
Ari, you mentioned that you also have an association with some people that deliver some of your food,
yeah,
if that was a need that somebody might have.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, we realized that we are just not reaching the people that we know. We know there are so many more people that need food than are making it to our location, or they have the misimpression that we had to close our doors, because for a little while we left and operated in a different parking lot that was offsite, and then we returned to our building. And so we think we lost some households, and we thought we just got to find ways to find people. At that time, we partnered with the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office. They were identifying homebound individuals who really needed food. And so we were, on a regular basis, providing them with boxes of food to serve to the most vulnerable folks that they bumped into during early stages of the pandemic. We have a really good partnership with New Mexico Child Advocacy Network. So they're working with young people aging out of foster care. And they did a big delivery program during the first year of the pandemic of Food Project Food. And then once people were able to sort of return to their facility, they just always had Rio Grande Food Project food that was non-perishable on site. And so we'd always replenish that stock of food so young people could access that. Albuquerque Family Advocacy Center, working with victims of interpersonal violence and domestic violence, has been a really good partner. So they pick up food from us on a monthly basis and ensure that it's always on site, ready to give to the families that are in those situations. So we had to find ways to sort of reach people beyond what we have the capacity to do. And those partnerships are sort of forever growing. And, it makes me think, too, it's in that way we're getting food to people. But I also think about all the agencies that get us food. Like, there's a great organization called Food is Free and Seed to Need. Seed to Need is a expansive farm in Corrales where homeowners, landowners have just donated their land to being farmed specifically for food pantries.
It's 100%
volunteer run.
100% volunteer run. All of the produce goes to pantries.
They give us a ton of produce. Food is Free does a ton of gleaning. So if you have a fruit tree that's just kind of a pain to, pick all of the peaches, you can contact Food is Free. They'll come pick it up and they'll take it directly to pantries like us. And so it's really like nothing is in isolation. A ton of the what we call food rescue work, where we pick up food from grocery stores, has been in partnership too. We used to have an amazing partnership, and it ended for good reasons. But the Fathers Building Futures, I don't know if you've heard of them. It's formerly incarcerated dads who are getting back on their feet, and they became our drivers. So they were picking up excess food from tons of local grocery stores. And, you know, these men were people who would otherwise be in our food lines, and we were able to provide them with a living wage, and they were fueling our hunger relief work by picking up all the excess food. So this is all such a network. It's why I, you know, can say a resounding yes when you ask, can we solve this problem? I know we can. It's a matter of coordination and partnership.
Ari, everything you've just said in this segment, I would like to see on the local news channels. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes.
Then we would watch.
Every day. Well, that's the thing. How come nobody reports this good news?
It's
There's
a great
good
question.
Stuff happening.
Yeah. It's such a good... There is such
We've
good
been in
stuff.
The bright spot a bunch of times. We've had a couple articles. But yes, it's a huge... It's a critical issue. And it's not going away just because we're, you know, in the third year of COVID. It's still an issue.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, one more time, tell our listeners how to get in touch. They want to follow up. Maybe... They know people in need. Maybe they're in need. Maybe they want to volunteer. How do they get in touch with you?
You can. Anyone can email us at rgfp@rgfp.org. Very original. Or they can go to our website and find our information. Our phone number is 505-831-3778. So email or call any of us, and you'll get one of our team members.
Hey, it has been a pleasure to meet both of you. Thank you for the time you gave
Thank
us today
you so
on
much,
ABQ
Jim.
Connect.
We're All so right. grateful. Thank you so much.
And I look forward to talking to you again soon.